The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to The Guardian's Daily Film Podcast. My name's Catherine Shaw and it's Tuesday the 3rd of November. Joining me to talk about the latest film news is Benjamin Lee, who yesterday promised we'd have a title for these podcasts. How's that working out for you, Ben?
This isn't my responsibility by myself, but we haven't actually got one still.
We've got a Google document there.
We've got a Google document, yeah. It's got a few names on it.
And also here is Henry Barnes, who is wearing, as he has been for the past month, his full Stormtrooper outfit in readiness for the new Star Wars movie. Henry, I've got some bad news for you, I'm afraid. US cinema chains have overnight ruled that you're going to be banned from a Star Wars screening of the new film if you're wearing a mask and if you're carrying a lightsaber.
I could do the reveal like in the trailer of John Boyega's character, except I don't look like John Boyega, I guess.
But like,
yeah, it would surprise people. but I did notice that they said you can't bring lightsabers but simulated lightsabers. So does that mean I can bring a real one?
I don't know. It was confusing, wasn't it? Because they said something like, you can't bring lightsabers. But then they said, oh, turn your lightsaber off.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Well, I think, yeah, I don't get it. But I mean, the serious side of this is they're trying to respond to the Lafayette shootings in July and the Dark Knight shootings, saying that any weapon, simulated or otherwise, is potentially worrying to customers, which I understand, I guess. Two people died in those shootings and I don't know. I mean, it seems a bit silly, doesn't it?
No, I think it seems right. I think it's.
Would a lightsaber scare you though? Like, if you saw someone with one, you wouldn't think someone's going to get hurt today. I'm going to get hit with a hit, maybe. But
well, what about blasters? They've banned blasters as well.
But how long does it take for like the staff to check that a gun is a plastic gun rather than a real gun?
Quite a long time, probably.
I mean, I think it's good because it would be incredibly annoying to go to the cinema and be surrounded by people dressed up as Star Wars figures. So for that, I'm on board.
But I'm with the Star Wars fans here. I think if you're going to go into Star Wars, a lot of people are going into Star Wars with such anticipation for it and such fandom that, yeah, why wouldn't you want to dress up? Why wouldn't you want to get fully into the experience? I'm going to protect their First Amendment rights to carry a lightsaber as well.
Well, of course, one movie I won't need to specially dress up for is Wonder Woman, because I always wear latex and a cape. And overnight we had the news that Nicole Kidman has joined the cast of the forthcoming spin-off movie for the lady superhero, who's going to be introduced in next spring's Batman v Superman. Kidman is going to play a, quote, high-ranking Amazonian warrior. And those in the know thinks that this is the mum of Wonder Woman. What do you think? Is Wonder Gran a good career move for Kidman?
It might be, actually, yeah. I think it's hard with these kind of comic book films because it always sounds really silly on paper. No matter what the character is, it always is going to sound stupid. Like, before we saw Thor, I mean, Anthony Hopkins playing like a high-ranking Norse god or whatever, it sounds really silly. In the film, if they have the right sort of sense of humour, I guess it can kind of work, because at the moment it sounds worryingly silly, but with comic books it's going to sound silly, I guess. And I think Nicole Kidman has a kind of, she's been doing a lot of vampy villain roles lately.
She's also acted opposite a meerkat recently, so I don't think playing an Amazonian grandma is going to be that much of a stretch.
Grandma, yeah,
you know.
She's doing more. She's got a lot more stuff coming out than usual, but I think she seems to be doing just anything that seems to get offered to her, maybe.
Well, didn't you look up an old quote from Anthony Hopkins, who you've already cited? What did he say in his Thor?
Anthony Hopkins, he said something like, he said he just made Thor the Dark World and he can't even remember what happened in it. And that he said, if someone calls me up and asks me to read the phone book, if they pay me, I'll do it.
I wonder how much he goes for.
We should try.
Kickstart it.
Also, overnight, we had the news that there's going to be more Hunger Games theme parks, which sounds bleak to me, frankly. They've already opened some in, they've already announced some in Dubai.
Well, they're going to have a Lionsgate park in Dubai, which also has a step-up dancing stage and some sort of divergent attraction. Another film about kids being forced to sort of kill each other and rebel. And I think the new Hunger Games theme park, they've talked about a District 12 part of the park where you can actually relive the poverty.
It's like
and
a punch
deprivation,
drunk, right? They're all dressed up as characters from District 12.
Well, yeah, they got all dressed up, yeah, as costumes. So
I'll sling you a bit of bread now and then, yeah, and root around in the mud for
you
it.
You could just remarket somewhere really poor as a Hunger Games theme park.
Yes, exactly.
It's hard, I guess, when you're trying to market something which has, or trying to get more money from something which is such a big franchise, but it's essentially about poverty and children killing each other. They tried before, they had chocolate for Catching Fire, and it was for every single district. They had themed chocolate, and they would theme the ingredients about what the district was known for. So I think District 10 was livestock, so they put beef jerky in it.
Uh-oh.
And District 6 was transportation, so they put crunchy runner peanuts in the chocolate.
Jesus Christ.
They've also got a roller coaster which is based on the train that goes from the districts to the capital.
But don't you have to jump off it?
Well, and also, aren't trains and roller coasters completely the opposite thing, in that a train is level and straight forever, and a roller coaster is loopy-doopy, right? So,
but the whole point of that train is that you have to jump off it in a really frightening way into, like, some building and then just down into a net or something.
Oh, that's
you're convincing me that I kind of want it.
So they really do. Really, do they say in Hunger Games as well?
No, the train Hunger Games, it's travelling to your doom, though, because you're going from your home to go to this arena where you're going to get slaughtered by children.
You could bring in a Son of Saul wing to the park as well.
That's a whole other park,
no,
though,
but I'm just saying how incredibly inappropriate it is. I know that's facts. Obviously. Anyway, I'll stop. And finally, the news that Forrest Whitaker, having nailed Idi Amin, is going to play Desmond Tutu in a new movie called The Archbishop and the Antichrist, which sounds a bit like something that Anthony Hopkins would star in and would go straight to DVD and would have Antonio Banderas perhaps in it as well. But it's actually the real-life story of the meeting between Tutu and a murderer called Piet Bromfeld, or Field. Sorry. And what's left out of me here is not the Forrest casting, but the fact that Vince Vaughn is going to play the killer. And I didn't see True Detective Season 2, but geez Louise, is he really like a proper actor now?
He's trying. He's got a few other films coming out which are mainly just dramatic.
Really?
But the thought of Vince Vaughn with a South African accent and Forrest Whitaker playing another overly mannered real-life African figure, I would rather not, personally.
Oh, well, the producer of it says, under the direction of Roland Joffé, their combined star power and talent is undeniable.
I would deny it, but I think Vince Vaughn is better when he's serious compared to when he's doing his man-boy silly thing from Swingers that he's never really managed to let up, really. I mean, I think he was good in the Psycho remake, one of the few good things about it. He was all right in True Detective Series 2. He's got the... it sounds cruel, but he's got the heft for that kind of thing. And he's good at the drama, I think. And he's good at playing murderers. There is something kind of sinister about him. So I think it could be quite good, this.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's all for today.
Convinced you, haven't I, Catherine?
Fine. Don't forget to check out theguardian.com/film for all the latest film news and features. And follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And I forgot to do the tagline thing. But I'll just say that I'm the author of all your pain and hope that suffices. Is that all right?
Sorry, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's true.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.com/audio.